If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light and sound of the Supreme Beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Shifts of Attitude Opens New Worlds in Soul's Ongoing Journey. Shifts of Attitude Opens New Worlds in Soul's Ongoing Journey. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call yourself forward in that continuum of divine love, light, and sound that presents as you into the time-space continuum. It presents as solific awareness that is having a human experience, many human experiences, but also at the same time discovering where you've always been and what you've always been beyond time and space. It's importing that awareness here and now. That is our objective. So if you'd like, call forward your divine line of authority, your spiritual upline, through which you are commissioned as one of the co-workers of the divine here on Earth assignment. You call that consciousness forward. You choose into it. You clothe yourself with that attitude. And it shifts you from just being an unconscious human to living a life on purpose that is vast, multidimensional, and cosmic in scope. And it gives you a thrill of joy and empowerment and self-confidence to know that you are part of everything beautiful that is unfolding on this planet. And if it's not beautiful, it's some karmic situation that is surfacing, kind of like the lancing of a boil. And you see all of the stuff coming out of it and a healing crisis. But that's all. It does not affect who and what we are forever as divine beings. So there are many, many lancings taking place upon the outer surface of this planet as ancient hatreds are transformed, Jesus says, into the holiest place on earth. Where is that? It's where an ancient hatred becomes a present love. And the first step towards that is to realize that we're one people, one race, one planet, embodiments of one God, and each as individual as snowflakes. So we need to shift out of the attitude of them and us, of evildoers and virtuous ones. We've all done evil doings, and we've all done meritorious doings. But in highest truth, we've never left original purity, divinity, and holiness. So we need to shift out of that attitude of adversarialness and begin to communicate and create a dialectic of we. Wherever we possibly can. That's the greatest contribution that we as individuals can possibly make on this planet is not to lend more logs into the fires of hatred, controversy, and againstness, but to lay in more and more fuel that ignites the hearts of all with compassion and understanding, and to pray for those who are so divorced from a conscious awareness of their divine self that they're totally operating out of the insanity of the ego mind. We must pray for our brothers and sisters that have had their minds distorted by aberrations, aberrated, let's say, information, which has set the mind into negativity rather than inclusiveness and sharing and love. So call yourself forward to be one of those emissaries for the joining of hearts, for the reconciling of differences, for the bridging of understanding. And commit yourself to that, if you will. And in that shift of attitude, you're going to enter a new world that some call the fifth dimension, some the fifth world, some the golden age, and some soul awareness. But call it whatever you may, it is the light, the truth, and way. So our shifts of attitude opens up new realms of experience for us. So let me ask you, how was your day today? Can you recall experiencing a shift in your attitude in which you entered into a new state, a new mood, a different world, within or without? Because actually they're one and the same. Have you noticed how a shift in attitude puts you into another realm of experience? Of how it shifts your mood, and thus how you experience your situation. Are you becoming more an observer of your life rather than allowing situations to simply overwhelm and take you over? Every minute we are shifting in and out of dimensional realms, worlds. We are never the same from one minute to the next. Only for most, this is occurring unconsciously. Our challenge is to wake up and become conscious co-participants with the divine in an eternal life. So one of the many shifts we can make in our attitude towards life is to identify our life as an ongoing, open-ended, eternal expansion. We are not here for a single life positioned between a birth and a death at all. Our life is one of ever-expanding potential and creativity. We could more accurately describe our incarnations as appearances. We appear within the time-space continuum of experiential episodes. When we are satisfied with that episode, we lay aside that character and costume and appear in another episode upon a more subtle dimension of life. And like that, we appear in and out, back and forth, incarnate, disincarnate, incarnate, disincarnate. So there's no such thing as death at all. Be aware that no one's in their body when they die. You are long gone out of your body at the moment an accident occurs, or a rape, or a murder. And there's been enough people who have had near-death experiences who have been able to assure us that is so. Not to mention conscious soul travelers who can rise out of their body and experience that as a fact while they're still living, and also after they cross over into another level of life. So began to realize that we have a built-in soul transcendental eject, if you will, mechanism that ejects us the minute that it looks like we are approaching our demise, however that looks like it's presenting in time-space. No one suffers. Sai Baba said that our Lord Jesus, the Christ, did not suffer during his crucifixion, that he rose in his spiritual awareness above his body and watched the whole thing. And only once, when he felt a slight irritation at what people were saying, did he drift down into a lower state of consciousness and for a second experience that pain. And Sai Baba said that he heard God the Father say to him, "All life is one, my beloved son. Be alike to everyone." And he was able to reestablish himself in the transcendental and personal state of the divine. So there's no such thing as finality, as dying and ceasing to exist. It's impossible. Nothing given life by Almighty God can ever cease to exist. The only thing that can shift is the consciousness and the energy. That's it. So there is the simple dropping of one character's costume and taking on another according to what we want to experience. These characters and costumes could be physical, astral, causal, mental, etheric, or soul. For each level, there is an appropriate garment or suit of clothes to appear into that world or dimensional level. We are not limited to any particular planet, such as Earth. We can appear on any planet, in any solar system, or universe, or galaxy, or beyond, as our soul lessons warrant. We as soul can also appear in the interdimensional realms as well. That would be in between planetary worlds. Each of the kingdoms of nature, the mineral, plant, animal, human, and divine, has its own particular line of unfoldment. Each kingdom begins to graduate and merge into the next higher kingdom, until reaching the human state, which is then the sum total of all the kingdoms synthesized into one. And that's what makes a human being so marvelous and so unique in all that it can contain and manifest in terms of the different levels of consciousness. Now, the elemental spirits of earth, wind, fire, water, and ether evolve through ensouling these elements, the elements of the minerals, the plants, the animals, and finally, by passing into one or two lines of successive unfoldment. One line of unfoldment would be the Devic, which after many, many, many appearances as fairies and elves and such within what has often been called the Fae Kingdom, they began to manifest in what could be called a king or a queen Deva. You have seen them, probably unknown to yourself, when you've looked at a tree that seems to be the biggest, most impressive tree in a forest. That's usually oversold by a king tree deva. Or close by, you'll often see the queen tree deva. They have a slightly different frequency. Those of you very attuned to nature will notice this. But ultimately, through the Devic line, one graduates into the angelic kingdom, the goal being to become an archangel, which is the Devic equivalent of mastery or lordship in the case of the humans. A crossover area that often a deva will choose or an extraterrestrial is to incarnate in the bird kingdom. It's interesting, the great ballet dancer Vaslav Nijinsky, who was known for his extraordinary elevation when he would leap, when they x-rayed his feet, they found out they had a skeletal structure similar to that of a bird. That would be a good example of a devic spirit who had come through that line of evolution. That would be the bird kingdom. Helena Rorick, the Master Moria said, had taken rare incarnations as a rose and a lily, hence her exquisite delicacy of energy. So just saying, sometimes very, very highly evolved devic or angelic beings, when they cross over into the human evolution, if they wish to, they don't have to, but if they want to, they might take incarnation in the bird kingdom or the flower kingdom, just to test the waters, so to speak. The other line of progression and unfoldment spiritually is the human, which more or less follows a similar path initially. But at some point, a choice is made as to ultimate destination as a divine co-worker, whether to work within the archangelic or angelic kingdoms or the superhuman and mastery levels. And some spirits do cross over from the angelic to the human at some point, and some also from the human line into the angelic. The divine kingdom, of which we are all natives originally, is vast, intergalactic, and cosmic in scope, and workers are needed throughout. One of my very early mentors in the early 60s was Flower Ann Newhouse. Flower Newhouse was an angel that had only had 13 lifetimes as a human being, and all of them had been female, which also is unusual because generally we will have, alternate lives, or at least, a fair number in both sexes. Flower's mission as a Christian mystic and clairvoyant was to make known the reality of the Devic and angelic kingdoms. And her books, Natives of Eternity and Kingdom of the Shining Ones, will be of immense interest to many of you who are listening. The books of Flower Newhouse can be found on Amazon and through her retreat center, Quest Haven, and the Christ Word Ministry that she started. And these are located in San Diego County. But the point we are making here is that as souls, we are keen on having as many varied experiences as possible. And thus, we are expanding the divine kingdom and its overall plan of involution and evolution of consciousness. Involution enables an inexperienced soul to enter into the material realms of duality to gain experience. And evolution involves a return of those now experienced souls to spirit. And it's that infinity dance of light densifying into matter, and matter ascending into light. Now here, here is the curious thing known only to the adepts called spiritual travelers, or Eckmasters. And it's this. All creation beneath the soul plane, or fifth kingdom, is completed. That means we are only re-experiencing what has already taken place. We experience whatever we make real for ourselves by giving it our attention. It's like what you see, you give life to. Because God is the inner light of awareness by which we see. God is looking through our eyes, listening through our ears, moving our body. There is only God, or the one divine source experiencing its creation through its soul extensions, which would be you and me and everyone. We are God having human experiences, or elemental Davic, angelic, and human experiences throughout every kingdom of nature. Sai Baba told us one time that there were 60 great beings that lived inside the sun. Great beings ensoul the sun, stars, the planets. And some are so vast they wear cosmic universes and galaxies as their bodies of creative expression. So all of life, from the tiniest microcosm to the greatest macrocosm, follows the basic pattern of the atom. For example, a solar system is simply an enlarged version of an atom. As part of God, all souls are awakening to their divine participation throughout creation. We're awakening to who and what we've always been and where we've always been involved. So you could say that consciousness itself is another definition of the soul. We are consciousness awakening and expanding our cosmic awareness consciously. We're becoming conscious of where we've been in time and space, and where we remain now in the eternal now. Because, again, time exists nowhere but in the human brain. Time is not the fourth dimension. Time is in the physical brain, in the physical dimension. The minute you transcend the physical body consciousness, you go out of time. And we live as spirit beings in the eternal now. So we're becoming aware of that which already exists, has already been worked out and completed and resolved, and we're simply shifting our attention from this to that. We are revisiting what has already taken place, perhaps making more loving shifts this run through. I tend to think that's what's happening. So this pertains to all of our experiences. Excuse me. All of our experiences, which would be in the physical, astral, causal, mental, etheric realms of consciousness. The real creative journey that Christ referred to as the life more abundant begins when we awaken to ourselves as soul and begin to operate at the soul level of consciousness. Now we can echo the words of the Christ when he said, "Behold, I make all things new." So newness begins, a new life. To be born again of the Spirit really means to awaken in soul awareness on the soul plane. And that would be called the fifth kingdom, where our real divine life begins. It's going on all the time, whether or not we're aware of it. But we're training ourselves and learning and being trained by the masters and the spiritual travelers to establish our point of reality, our point of awareness within the soul plane. And there we recognize that all our experiences within the lower dimensional realms were simply to train and strengthen us spiritually to live and operate as conscious, soul-aware beings and divine co-workers. So there are, according to the spiritual travelers, 27 levels within the soul realm, each more refined and glorious than we can even imagine here. And beyond those 27 soul levels are the God realms of eternal life. These God realms are unknown to all but the spiritual travelers. For few of even the most advanced yogis have ever gone beyond the psychic and material realms, which are the worlds beneath the soul realm, which again would be the physical, astral, causal, mental, and etheric. These are called the psychic and material realms, because the lower realms are the realms of light that are mixed with the mind. So when you have mind and spirit mixed, you have the what is called the psychic and material realms. The soul realm, however, is pure light mixed with the living word of the sound current. But there's no lower or ego mind in the soul realm. The God realms are pure spirit as light, which then becomes sound until only the living word is. And there's nothing else you can say. It's that which is the living word of the living God. So these realms are experienced by the spiritual travelers. I've done several seminars on the spiritual travelers, and from time to time I touch back into that. Because we need to be under the mentorship of a spiritual traveler to be able to exit the powerful psychic fields of the lower psychic and material realms. That binding, inhibiting power has been called the negative power, or the call, or Satan, or the devil, or the dweller on the threshold. But it's that energy which confines the soul within the lower realms and doesn't allow it to pass beyond except through the authority and mentorship of a spiritual traveler. Before the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ into this planet, that negative power was not allowing any souls to exit the lower realms. But when Jesus the Christ took embodiment, he broke that stronghold and set the captives free, in the sense that this negative power no longer was allowed to confine souls that were able to and were being guided beyond the psychic realms, into the soul and God realms beyond. And that opening of a more excellent way was called the Radiant Way, with a capital W, the way. And it's the way of grace. So grace was instituted and opened onto the planet for humanity. And prior to that time, the Bible refers to that holding tank where the negative power was holding souls as Abraham's bosom. It's also called the summer land, or the, again, the astral realm. and any of the lower realms beneath the realm of soul. But generally, when people would pass out of their body, they would only go into the astral realm, which is the realm closest to the earth and the most similar to earth. So with the Lord Jesus the Christ came in the way of grace, which literally means that you can step free through grace. And the greatest grace is to come into contact with a spiritual traveler that has the authority and the ability to establish your consciousness within the divine light and sound current, and to enable it to transcend beyond these lower dimensional universes and worlds of entrapment. So, what spiritual traveler should we ask to assist us? Well, there are many men and women serving as spiritual travelers, both here and within the all of the other realms and worlds. There's a traveler on each level, at least one. There's always at least one on the physical planet. Some of them are known, but more than often, they're not known. Today, we're very fortunate because we have spiritual travelers that are known on the physical planet. So, before I get into who they are, let me tell you that you are already known to them, even if you're not aware of them yourself. So, to begin with, you could ask for the spiritual traveler that you have the closest connection with and see who shows up. The traveler who has agreed to take all souls up to the soul realm is the Lord Jesus the Christ. So generally, people who become devotees or followers or disciples of the Lord Jesus, the Christ, are taken up as far as the soul. And at that level, then all of the travelers become one. So it doesn't much matter who you go with beyond there. So in the lower realms, all you need to look for is the person who shows up for you that you make a commitment with, and the commitment is mutual, that this particular traveler will assume responsibility for assisting you to attain soul transcendence in this lifetime. And otherwise, you know, without that assistance and working through karma, it could take hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes to be able to extricate oneself from these lower realms, which are full of traps and booby traps and pitfalls. But you can attain in one lifetime if you come under the mentorship of a genuine spiritual traveler. So you could see who shows up when you make that request, or you could ask for the Mahanta or the mystical traveler to work with you. The Mahanta and the mystical traveler are consciousnesses of soul transcendence. They are the consciousness that one individual or more individuals will host into the physical world, because you need a physical master according to the spiritual travelers. You have to have a physical master. So two of the spiritual travelers who showed up for me early on, before I even knew there was such a thing as a spiritual traveler, was John Roger, who I've told you appeared to me when I was 12 years old. And I was asking whoever brought me to this planet to come and take me home, because I couldn't stay here. There was not enough love. That night, a young blonde man came in my dreams and stayed with me for the next 20 years until I walked into a seminar in 1972, and lo and behold, there he was in the flesh, and I recognized him. He also recognized me and told me that he'd been working with me since about the time of junior high. So sometimes you meet one of these travelers years before you meet them in the physical. Another person that I'm very close to on the inner planes and have been since the early 60s is Paul Twitchell, who at that time was physically embodied and we were both living in Las Vegas. Now, Paul Twitchell founded the ancient Venusian teachings of Om Notia Zadia, as it's called on Venus, in the form of the modern-day organization called Ekankar. And that was about 1965. John Roger founded MSIA, or the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, around the same time, maybe a little before. I think he started to integrate that consciousness about 1963. So these travelers are both working from the spiritual realms now, and their physical successors are living in the physical world today. Are Sri Harold Klemp, living in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where there is a golden temple there, very beautiful temple I visited many times, and the headquarters for Ekankar. And then there's John Morton, who is the spiritual director now and the traveler of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, or MSIA. And I'm affiliated with both of these, and they're both absolutely excellent. I can't praise them enough. So you can study more about soul travel and soul awareness by reading the books of MSIA and Ekankar, or subscribing to monthly discourses if you want to be trained in conscious soul awareness, and self-mastery. So one needs to be under the guidance of a spiritual traveler to break free of the powerful psychic energy that entraps soul within the lower realms. And what it does in a positive way is the negative power tests and trains you and makes certain that you're strong enough to survive in the God realms. So it does have a positive aspect to it, although the seat of that negative power is the lower ego mind. So we can echo with Jesus that our enemies are of our own household, meaning within us. And it's our own mind and the battlefield that we battle with, all of us to some extent, is the battlefield of the mind. And our conditioning, of course. So with the assistance of a genuine spiritual traveler, one could break free in one lifetime, which would otherwise possibly take hundreds or more lifetimes. John Roger told us one time that he had only in all of his, at that point he had traveled to, I think, 101 different universes. He said he had never encountered, he had only encountered 14 souls that were able to make it through to the soul realm without the assistance of a traveler. So we're lucky today because these great teachers are available on the physical plane, and that's rarely the case in the past because they were martyred almost as soon as they opened their mouth. The negative power does not like those who speak truth. And that's why you have the crucifixions and the martyrs of all the great men and women who truly knew God in ancient times. So is a traveler different from an avatar? This is often a question that's asked. In one sense, no, because they're both avatars in one way of speaking. In another sense, yes, because the job assignment is different. Travelers have only one job, and that's to connect soul with the light and sound currents. To be a traveler, you have to teach both divine light and divine sound. Without the sound current, You don't have a traveler's teaching. So the sound current is actually the voice of God, the presence of God that carries you home. You surf that current inwardly and use it to hone back into your divine point of origin. So the traveler's job is to make that connection at the time of initiation, which sometimes is given outwardly and sometimes inwardly. But then when it's given inwardly, generally you need a physical initiation to confirm that for you, and so that you know that you're connected. And then the traveler assists you to be established upon the soul realm, and then it's your job to maintain that establishment. So avatars generally come for all humanity. And the avatar comes to lift humanity in consciousness to a higher state. In fact, Sai Baba has said that he has come to foster the goodness inherent in every molecule of life, every kingdom of nature, all beings. Now, only a few within the masses at any given time may be ready to awaken in soul awareness and to exit the lower realms of testing and training. If you talk to many people, you'll find that most of them are pretty satisfied with their lives and pretty convinced that there's something to be had here in the material world. They're still full of desires and ambitions and pleasures and indulgences that the physical plane offers. And they're not ready to relinquish those things, nor are they interested in hearing about that. So the people who are actually candidates for spiritual liberation tend to be rather rare. And when such comes to the avatar, usually the avatar will take that person and place that person with a spiritual traveler for specific training. And that is what happened to me. And that is what the avatar does as part of his job assignment, to guide souls to where they can best be taught what they need to learn in order to graduate and exit this earth school for good. Now, Sai Baba, in my understanding, is in the line of spiritual travelers. And also, of course, Jesus. In MSIA, we call Jesus the greatest traveler, the greatest spiritual traveler. The Lord Jesus was the direct master of John Roger. He appeared to him physically and gave him the work to start MSIA. So those of us that work with MSIA, we come right down through the office of the Christ and the order of Melchizedek and work directly under the Lord Jesus the Christ, which for me personally was really important. I had to have Jesus in the mix to make me happy. Ekankar comes through a different line of masters that, by and large, are unfamiliar to me. I have since met many of them because I have now been a soul traveler for over 40-some years, and I can go into those inner realms and travel. And also I've traveled with John Roger and Paul Twitchell into many of these realms and met these masters on other planets and other dimensional realms. Now, apparently, from what I understand in my case, I had been caught up in the Bodhisattva loop, apparently for some lifetimes. And it was time for me to go beyond returning again and again to Earth to serve Earth's humanity in its awakening. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it is no longer useful to a soul if it becomes a rut and one is unable to break free. And I think that's probably what happened to me. Anyway, that said, I was sent by my guru, Satya Sai Baba, to John Roger, MSIA, for training, and also later on to Ekankar. So I have been progressing along a path which is unusual in the sense that I carry many lineages and am working with many masters, and generally that does not work for most people. Most people get confused doing that. For me, it hasn't brought confusion because I see it all as the one light and sound current that's bringing souls home. And bottom line, the light and sound is simply divine love. It's all about love. So if these teachers all teach divine love, then, you know, where's the difference? But I often tell you that you are drawn to what is for you. It will show up. Your master shows up either inwardly or in the physical, but he or she will show up, and you don't have to worry about that. What you need to do is send out the call. And you know what? Your heart, your heart's longing sends out that call when, like a fitful child throws all of its toys out of the playpen and just starts hollering for its mother when it's had enough of everything. That's what the soul does when we've been around the block so many times here. We're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. We just want God. We just want out of here. And it's not even a want out of here kind of thing. It's that you long to merge with the divine beloved. You want the beloved. You want the divine beloved. And you fall in love with that. And it sings a sweet melody within your soul. And that's the sound current. It calls your name. It calls you home. And you just listen within. And you follow the song in your heart until you awaken in the very heart, as the very heart of the beloved. And you realize, oh, I've always been the one beloved. I just lost sight of my true identity. That's all. So some of the spiritual travelers, excuse me, choose to work from the various other levels within the psychic and material realms. For example, they may set up their base of operation on the astral, the causal, the mental, the etheric, or the soul realms, or within the God realms. And Ekankar has books that show the different temples, what they look like on each of those levels, and the masters that are in charge of what is called the Shariat Kisugmad, which is the way of the eternal, which is the sacred Bible of Ekankar. And they are in charge of certain books of that, which I understand there are 12 books of the Shariat. But also each of our lifetimes is written into the Shariat. So it's a living word, it's a living scripture that as we dance through our soul journeys, we are adding to that Shariat, or that way of the eternal. And so they have these great, they can appear as a big book. When I had my experience with Jesus taking me to the Book of Life, or the Shariat Kisugmad, it appeared as a huge book. And he took my hand and we soul traveled into the book, which then became living scenes from his lifetime. And he walked with me. It was one of my major lifetimes was with him. So he actually walked with me through his life in that book, which became animated into real, actual, being with him in his lifetime. And so sometimes the Shariat Kisugmad, when you encounter it on the inner realms, takes that huge book kind of experience, but it could also look like a book on a podium. It could also appear as a radiant light. It could take different forms. So pay attention in your inner realm travels and your dreams to see if you're taken by a traveler to read this incredible living scripture. And it's there for you, beloveds. So So the spiritual travelers are in all the realms and all the dimensions, including the physical, and they go about quietly doing the work of God, helping people however they can to awaken to the divine love that they are. So Ekankar has wonderful books and pictures of the Ek Masters and the temples upon the various realms if you're interested in further exploring this marvelous topic. That is truly fascinating. So I think we enjoy reading and watching films and TV and traveling and taking vacations probably because it shifts our attitude and attention into other states and other worlds. And bear in mind that we can vicariously experience life through another lens of experience. In fact, if we can stay conscious of ourselves as soul while watching movies, TVs, etc., it is possible to release one's karmic blocks and to learn from another's experience without having to go through it ourselves. Star Trek's holodeck programming was an example of how we actually create soul awareness interactive programs aboard ship within the Ashtar Command. And these same mocked-up experiential avenues are created upon the inner planes as well. I would say primarily the astral plane, but also other realms. And in our soul body, we can visit these astral temples of learning and work out problematic situations there instead of having to undergo them in the physical. The astral realm is closest to Earth and it's easy to access. We can also visit the causal plane and view the karmic seed cause for our current problems. Much can thereby be resolved. So this is a wonderful thing that we can access. And you might ask, how can we go about doing this? Well, here's how you do it. When you go to bed at night, ask for a spiritual traveler to escort you to the astral or causal realms where you can see what your current karmic lesson is all about. Ask if it's for your highest good that you could resolve it during the night in your dreams. And then you access those realms by chanting mana, M-A-N-A. Mana, mana, mana. Chant it out loud for a while, and then take it in silently and go to sleep. And see what happens. And write down your experiences when you awaken. I'll also give you some fast ways to shift your attitude. Number one, shift out of your mind, your emotional state, and your usual routine by doing something different. Music is one of the fastest ways to shift your mood. Or get up and get out of the house. Get up off of that chair, that couch, or wherever you sit when you're depressed. Get out, interact, do something. With people, preferably. Number two, join a group, a club, a class. Whatever encourages your creative expression. Take an art class, a writing class, join a book club. Participate in sports. Ride horseback, go swimming, take yoga. Join a Sai Baba center. Do a hue chant at an Ekankar center. Go see a video at MSIA seminar. They have video nights where you can watch a video of John Roger or John Morton teaching. Participate in a ministerial outreach at your church. Participate in community service. Volunteer. Get involved in some area of interest. To find a Sai Baba Center, you just need to Google Satya Sai Baba Center of put your city or Sai organization, Sai Organization USA, or International Sai Organization, and it should bring up many choices for you. Join a sing-along group, a choir, take voice or music or dance classes. I think personally that singing and chanting changes energy very rapidly. Especially bhajans and Christian worship and chanting hu or anai hu. We always or usually close by chanting anai hu. So simple. So simple. It's good for everyone. So chanting hu will really shift your mood very rapidly into a positive way. And then there's spiritual rituals. There's drumming circles. There's talking stick circles. Sweat lodges, vision quests, spiritual retreats, spiritual seminars and classes. Or you could practice overcoming an addictive pattern. Join the 12-step program. That was started, by the way, by one of the ascended masters. That's why it's so effective. But do something. You could start discourses, yearly discourses offered by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, or Ekankar, or the lessons offered by Self-Realization Fellowship that Yogananda started, or Siddha Yoga, which was started by Muktananda and is now headed by Guru Mai, or study the Course in Miracles. Or you could start like I did and study the esoteric teachings of Alice Bailey and Joel Kuhl, DK. You could join the Arcane School if you really want very, very serious and very excellent training in discipleship. But bottom line, move your body. Exercise, walk, jog, play with your dog or your kids. In other words, when you find yourself getting stuck in your attitude, in your life, in your mood, in your emotions, in your mind, in your drama, do something to shift out of that. It's very, very simple to do. The thing of it is, when we're in the thralls of that negative ego, it's very stubborn. It's very recalcitrant. It doesn't want to do anything to help itself. So you have to override that immature part of yourself and do it anyway. You just have to force your more mature self to take that immature self in hand and not allow it to rule and govern your life. So I hope this has been helpful to you. There's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful life that's beyond. It's beyond the joy and the love and everything that you've longed for in your deepest, deepest, deepest longings. It's what you really want when you keep seeking that soulmate or that other person to complete you. It's what you really want when you're going after some objective of the world with great ambition and great intensity. It's what you're really seeking behind every desire, every longing of your heart, and every fervent prayer that the heart utters continually is to be one with the divine light and sound of the beloved. And that's your destiny. You will indeed attain that. The only question is when you want it enough to receive it. That's all. That's all. You decide. Only the timing. But the ultimate gift has already been given to you. So I bless all of you that you may awaken as the divine incarnations that you've always been, that you may see the face of the Divine Beloved and recognize it as your own. Let's go out chanting on I, you. Deep breath. I love you. The peace of God be with you. Namaste.